good day, ladies and gentlemen. Is saying Christ is King anti-Semitic? Well, two folks from, well, probably three. I don't have any evidence of Ben Shapiro saying that in the last couple days. Probably find it somewhere. But Andrew Klavan from The Daily Wire and Jeremy Boring from The Daily Wire seem to think that you can say Christ the King and be an anti-Semite or use the term anti-Semitically. Before we continue, here's a shirt from my buddy Gary Rashidi. It's a podcast called Hot Water History. Check it out. He did not pay me to show this shirt. You see, it says Herod is dead. It's pretty cool. It's St. Joseph holding Christ. Really sweet shirt. Hot Water History is the podcast. I appeared on it a few weeks ago. Had a blast hanging out with you, Gary, in Chicago, so that was awesome. In any event, check out his podcast. He did not pay me to say that, although he did tell me as a friend he would send me a shipment of gold bullion, so I'm still waiting for that. Now, is it anti-Semitic to say Christ is king? Well, clearly it's not anti-Semitic to say Christ is king, but there is a claim from the Daily Wire folks that you can say Christ is king in an anti-Semitic way, meaning you hate Jews if you say Christ is king. Now, this curiously comes on the heels of Candace Owens parting ways with the Daily Wire. And we all know Candace Owens was getting pretty based and trad-pilled on the whole JQ. Take that as you want and infer from that what you'll infer from that. But she had a row with Ben Shapiro. She started sounding a lot more Christian. She's married to a traditional Catholic. I think he converted after they married, according to what I've seen in videos with him and Taylor Marshall and so forth. And she seems like she's getting pretty trad in a lot of reviews. And she started saying things like, hey, Israel probably shouldn't do this. We should probably look into the history of who promotes pornography. All of a sudden, you know, she's an anti-Semite, whatever. She left Daily Wire for the reasons we don't know specifically the details. We can assume. Anyway. So I'm going to show you a clip here of Andrew Klavan, who I used to enjoy his show back in the day when I was figuring out a lot of stuff about politics, kind of in my early days of my conversion. He's a good writer. He's got a great writing pedigree, in fairness to him. He's got some wacky views as a Christian. He's an ethnic Jew who converted to Episcopalianism, I think. So he is like pro-sodomy. I think he's been vocal about that. Nonetheless, he is an excellent writer, and I did learn a lot from him about writing when I would listen to some of his topics on that. So kudos to that. But what he says here is interesting. So here is a, I'm going to show you here. It's funny enough, it's a post from, if I go here, Viva Frey, who's actually a Jewish Canadian lawyer who has a show about politics. And he says that right here, he says, Andrew Klavan's take on the matter is cognitive dissonance in real time, because Andrew is saying Christ is king, et cetera, et cetera. But also saying Christ is king can be anti-Semitic. So we're going to see what Klavan actually said. And then we're going to see what Boring said, Jeremy Boring, the co-founder of Daily Wire. And then we're going to break down this whole idea of anti-Semitism, Christ is king, et cetera, et cetera. All of this has conveniently taken place just with the advent of Holy Week. Isn't it amazing? The most holy week of the year, where we're coming upon the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross on Friday. Now, Christians are anti-Semitic for saying Christ is king under some context. Very curious how that works out, especially right after they can't Candace Owens, or they parted ways, I should say. I don't know if the actual details. Yeah. Okay. Sure. All right. So let's look at this here. Here is Andrew Klavan.
You know, when I did this, by the way, the priest who baptized me said, you know, Christians won't accept you. You'll still be a Jew. And I said, well, I am. That's my race. I'm a Jew. I'm proud of my race. It's a great race. It's done many, many great things, including write the Bible. And, you know, I am a Jew. But that hasn't happened at all. Christians have welcomed me with open arms, except this Christ the King anti-Semitic crowd. Christ is the King. And one day, every knee will bow and recognize it, because he's not just my king, he's king of the universe. But when you use that phrase to mean that God has abandoned his chosen people, the Jews, through whom he came into this world incarnate, and that he's broken his promises, his covenant with the Jews, you are quoting scripture like Satan does in the Bible. You are quoting scripture to your purposes, and that to me is specifically wicked. You know, when you spit that phrase at Ben Shapiro, my friend Ben Shapiro, and you know, I understand this. All of you who love Ben, and I love Ben, and Jordan Peterson, you all want to see them find Jesus, because you know what joy and freedom that gives you, and you certainly feel that it alters your relationship with God. But when I think about this, to be honest with you, You know, and I know some people will disagree with this, but life is not a game show where you guess the name of God and you get to go to heaven. Honk, you know, yes, the name is Jesus. I look at Ben's life and I think if Ben were to embrace Jesus Christ, it would cause devastation to his family, to the people who love him, to the people who listen to him, to his position in the world. I just have this feeling that God has put this guy where he wants him to do what he wants him to do. And as you know, I feel that, you know, the Jews were not abandoned by God.
Okay, so there's a lot of there's a lot of problems here with what Klavan is saying. Now, I'm very happy Klavan found Jesus. I hope he becomes a Catholic. But Klavan is a heretic. He just is, objectively speaking, a heretic. This idea about God abandoning the Jewish people. Listen, there is so much wrong with phrasing it that way in the first place. God made a covenant with the Jews in various steps in the Old Testament. We see this, Abraham, Moses, etc. God sends his son, Jesus Christ, who fulfills the purpose of that covenant. That covenant that was in place at the time of Christ is no longer binding, and it's no longer efficacious. This is why, as Christ prophesied, the temple would be destroyed, and the sacrifice would stop, because the sacrifice in the temple no longer has any merit. It never was meritorious in the way that Christ's sacrifice was, but it was the willed prefigurement by God of the true religion. But that's no longer the case. It's not the case anymore. Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of sins. He was the King of the Jews. The first apostles and disciples were Jews. And they didn't lose their Jewishness as far as their ethnicity and so forth, but instead that promise was fulfilled and it was extended to the Gentiles. The Jews are no longer God's chosen people in the sense that that's used as if there is still a coming Messiah. That's just not possible because the covenant is no longer in the Old Testament sense. It is with the entire human race, if they embrace Christ, are baptized, repent of their sins, etc., and join the church. That's the Coles notes of the whole matter. So Klavan is correct when he says, you know, you can't just do like a game show and pick your God or whatever, and then you're good. But he's right about that for the wrong reasons. He thinks that God would somehow put Ben Shapiro in this place to do what he thinks is good. I mean, some of the things that Shapiro has done are objectively good. I mean, he's destroyed a lot of leftists and things like that on campus, which has made for some funny videos. And that's fine. But no, God would never will that someone be a part of a false religion. Ben Shapiro cannot save his soul as a Jew. There is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. Israel is not, there's a nation of Israel that's a political entity, but the true Israel is the Catholic Church. This is where we find the fulfillment of this. So there's just a lot of errors. I could say more about it, but if you're a believing Catholic, even if you're a Protestant who believes the Bible to be divinely inspired and there's a, you know, no one comes to the Father except through Christ, you know, etc., then clearly there's no possible way to agree with Klavan's statements. There's more that could be said. I think I've made the point. I don't want to belabor it too much. He's just wrong on that. But the part that is most troubling, well, his theology is bad, but this idea that it's sort of wrong to say Christ is king to Shapiro. Here's the thing. Christ is king. He's king. Ben Shapiro is famous for saying facts don't care about your feelings. Well, apparently that goes away when it comes to telling the truth about Christ. Now, I will say this as well. I used to, so little backstory. A long time ago, I mean, at this point, I'm 36. Yeah, my birthday was a week ago. So I'm 36. And so this would have been when I was like 22 or 23, somewhere around there. So this is like 13 years ago. When I was finishing up school, I had a colleague. He was my boss of this small company, this moving company I worked for. And this guy was very right wing. He wasn't a very religious man. He was a Christian. I think he was Orthodox, but he was really awake on the JQ, if you know what I'm saying. So because it was his company, he couldn't get fired. So he was sharing stuff with me. So I went down the rabbit hole, if you want to say it like that. I read a lot of information about the JQ, a Zionism mainly and things like that. And I was a godless guy at that time. I was not a practicing Catholic. I was just a worldly idiot. And I remember going and watching documentaries, reading books, going down the rabbit hole and this stuff. And admittedly so, I don't doubt that Klavan has received a lot of ridiculous nonsense from a lot of people who are just idiots, call themselves Christians, and really just hate Jews. Like, that does happen. Father Maudsley's been on my show, and he's talked about that as well. I mean, he literally, I've got one of his volumes right there on my bookshelf, another one somewhere else on my other book. I got a bunch of bookshelves. And he's written books about the conversion of the Jews. He wants the Jews to convert. Like, that's his mission. No one loves the Jews more than Father Maudsley, because he loves them so much. He's willing to be calumniated and so forth so they'll convert. I mean, he loves the Jews in the true biblical sense of desiring their conversion, which I do as well. And if you believe the Jews are your enemy, which there is evidence of the enmity between the older and younger brother, that's a scriptural motif, of course. We don't even have to get into conspiracies and things like that. Many of them are true. We don't even have to do that to just know from the scriptures and from the exegetes of the church fathers and so forth that there is this enmity between the older and younger brother. This is Cain and Abel. This is seen throughout scripture in many places. If they are your enemies, you must love your enemies and pray for them. What does it merit a man to love those who love him, as Christ says? It merits us really nothing. It's like saying, I breathe air. It's like, well, you have to breathe. You breathe naturally. It's easy to love somebody who loves you. But if somebody is your enemy, you should pray for them more than anyone else. So whatever feelings one may have about the whole JQ, you should be praying for the Jews the hardest, because if they are your enemy, you should be praying for them the most. Okay, that's true love. So I do love the Jews in the sense that I want them to convert to Catholicism, because I want that for everybody. Now, when I was in this JQ rabbit hole, again, I was a godless man at that time. There's a lot of crazy stuff in there. And I'm not talking about information. I'm talking about personalities. There are, and I see this sometimes on my live chat. I had to block a guy the other day. Insane. It was insane. Like, there is a type of person who does get into this stuff and just goes nuts. It does happen, especially if they don't have any virtue. It does happen. So if Klavan has experienced that, that's a real thing. And if anyone's saying, well, I mean, Klavan is a heretic and there are problems with his Christianity because he's a heretic. But in the general sense, if someone's like, well, you can never be a Christian because you're a Jew, it's like, that's just stupid. What are we going to say about the Virgin Mary, the apostles, Christ, et cetera? I mean, that's just dumb. And there is I hate to use this word anti-Semitic because it's abused, but in the sense of people just hating a group of people because of their place of birth or nationality or ethnic heritage, that does exist. That's a problem. Nonetheless, that does not justify talking about the Christ is King crowd as anti-Semitic. I'm part of the Christ is King crowd. I believe Christ is King. I don't hate you, Andrew Klavan. In fact, I love you enough that I actually want to tell you that you're a heretic and that you need to repent and believe the gospel in its fullness in the Catholic Church, or you're going to lose your soul. I love Ben Shapiro enough that I've tweeted before and I've said that he's an unbeliever. He's perfidious in his unbelief. He's an anti-Christic figure. He hates Christ. He's made blasphemous jokes about Christ many times. And he's going to be damned for all eternity. And God, as Andrew Klavan, Andrew Klavan said the opposite. God will not be using Ben Shapiro to do all the good he's doing. That's just religious indifferentism. Then it doesn't matter. God's just going to pick and choose the different religions. That's just stupid. That makes no sense. Although it probably does make sense in the Church of Pope Francis, so maybe Andrew Klavan will convert to Catholicism because you don't actually have to believe in Catholicism to be a Catholic nowadays, according to the Pope. In any event, there's a lot wrong with that. And we're going to look at what Jeremy Boring said about this whole shtick, and it's all related, of course, because it's all Daily Wire. And here's what Jeremy Boring said about how saying Christ is King could be anti-Semitic. We're going to break this down. So here's Jeremy Boring's tweet. I can't call it X. I can't bring myself to do it. Anyway, he said, how is saying Christ is King anti-Semitic? The same way anything becomes anti-Semitic when it is used for the purpose of expressing anti-Semitism. Okay, right there, there's actually a massive philosophical problem. Okay. This is a pencil. It's always a pencil. It was created for a certain intention. Although you may use the pencil wrongly, it never changes the nature of what the pencil is. It's always a pencil. You can't say, well, pencils are dangerous because someone uses pencils to stab people. That's always using something wrongly for something it's not for. It doesn't change the nature of that thing. Saying Christ is king is perfectly acceptable. If someone uses the words Christ is king for a quote-unquote anti-Semitic reason, saying Christ is king is still not anti-Semitic because it's a statement of the truth about Christ being the king. The person may be bigoted, and they may be using words wrongly, but it's not correct to say that saying Christ is king can become anti-Semitic. What you should say instead is someone can say something that is not anti-Semitic or that is not bigoted and use it as a way in their bigoted discourse. That would be the proper way to talk about it. So there's a problem there. In any event, he goes on to say, it's like asking, how does a shovel become a murder weapon when it's used to murder somebody? This isn't hard. We and him have a disagreement here. A shovel is not innately a murder weapon. Saying Christ is king is not innately anti-Semitic. It is all about how a thing is used. No, this is where he's wrong. Christ is king is intrinsically holy. Saying Christ is king is intrinsically holy. It as a phrase can never be anti-Semitic. Saying eat some cornbread is not racist if I say to my three-year-old when she's refusing her dinner. Well, you can't equate saying eat some food with saying Christ is king, because this is a problem as well. Christ is king is a statement of fact about Jesus Christ. Telling someone to do something is not a statement of religious truth. He's going with this on some sort of, you know, whatever racism thing. In any event, he goes on and on and on. So too, he says, Christ is king may be anti-Semitic in connotation while not in denotation when it is being used to express anti-Semitism. No. Again, there's a problem. Saying Christ is king can never be an anti-Semitic phrase. So what he says here, so Christ is king may be anti-Semitic in connotation while not in denotation. This is just gobbledygook. No. It cannot be used to express anti-Semitism because saying Christ is king cannot be an anti-Semitic expression. It can't be. That's like saying the Holy Trinity, God is three three divine persons and one God, right? Three persons and one God. Whatever. I hope I'm not messing up my Christology here. Saying the Holy Trinity is the Holy Trinity, it doesn't matter how you say it. It doesn't matter how you say it. It doesn't matter if you're a mean old cuss. It doesn't matter if you're a jerk. It doesn't matter if you're whatever. Saying the word, the Holy Trinity is what it is. It's just a statement of religious fact. It's impossible to say that that phrase or to tell the truth about the Holy Trinity is anti-Semitic, is whatever. It's not possible. So I get where he's going with this. Saying, you know, if someone is one of these two red pill JQ bros who isn't really a Christian and just wants to yell at Shapiro and say Christ is king, it's still not anti-Semitic. They might be a jerk, whatever, but it's still not anti-Semitic. It's just not, because saying Christ is king can simply not be anti-Semitic, because a religious truth about Jesus Christ cannot be anti-Semitic. Anyway, he goes on and on and on. He says, Jesus Christ is king, sure enough, king of heaven and earth, king of Jew and Gentile alike, yet a bruised... Okay, this is Protestant nonsense. Blah, 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 blah. If you... So don't use his name as a cudgel to bash those in whom the light of God yet flickers. If you do, you are a blasphemer and an anti-Semite and a piece of crap generally, and the fear of the Lord is clearly not in you. It will be, though. Okay, so you're going to hell if you tell Ben Shapiro Christ is king. Okay, anyway. Point being, I think I've hammered that through enough, but there's a deeper problem with this whole thing. There's a deeper problem. And I was writing an article about this that's yet to be published. Okay. Why does this stuff always come up on Good Friday week, Holy Week? Why? Because it's clear in the Gospels, and I'm going to show you some scripture. It's clear in the Gospels that there is a type of inherited guilt on the Jews as a people that is in the scriptures. And before we get to that, and you get all freaked out because I'm saying that, remember, I'm a Catholic, and I believe that every human being has inherited the guilt of Adam, so we can inherit guilt from our ancestors. Also, the Jews themselves admit, I would imagine if they believe the Old Testament, that generations for hundreds of years of their ancestors who were the sons of their older ancestors were exiled from Israel as a result of their sin. So you can receive, in the Bible, as a Jew, you can receive punishment and feel the effects of that for hundreds and thousands of years by the words of the Bible itself for the sins of your ancestors. Okay? And these things prefigure, all of the things in the Old Testament prefigure what will come with Christ. So the Old Testament prophets and so forth warned the Jews. They said, if you go on this way, you're going to lose the Holy Land. And they did. And when they came back, what did they do? They set up the temple again in order to offer sacrifice for their sins, to atone for their sins. Okay? This prefigures the coming and going of the Jews out of the covenant and into the new covenant. This is what this prefigures. You can read Father Maudsley for more of this information. So we're going to read some scriptural passages here that we need to wrestle with as Catholics with Holy Week, because if you're not strong on these things, you're going to fall for this idea that we got to be careful about anti-Semitism with talking about the Jews and so forth when it's really just in scripture. Okay, so I'm just going to bring up a couple verses here. Okay, here is Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, verse 23, or chapter 23, and we're going to read specifically this passage right here, starting with verse 31. Christ says to the Pharisees, "Wherefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of them that killed the prophets." So already, Christ is saying, you are the sons. He means spiritually, not just genealogically. You're the sons of them that killed the prophets. "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." So saying, this is what your fathers did. Watch out. "You serpents, generation of vipers, how will you flee from the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will put to death and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the just blood that hath been shed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel the just, even unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Berechias, whom you killed between the temple and the altar." And this is the commentary from the Douay Rheims on that verse. It says, that may come upon you. Note that they should suffer, not that they should suffer more than their own sins justly deserve, but that the justice of God should now fall upon them with such a final vengeance once for all, as might comprise all the different kinds of judgments and punishments that had at any time before them been inflicted for the shedding of just blood. Continues verse 36. "Amen, I say to you, all these things shall come upon you this generation." So right here, Christ is saying, for the sins of your ancestors who killed the prophets, you are their spiritual sons, and you will experience that punishment. So there is an inherited guilt in the Bible, obviously with original sin, but also with particular sins against God that are explicit. And Christ, who is the second person of the Holy Trinity, is making that very clear. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered together thy children as the hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and thou wouldest not. Behold, your house shall be left to you desolate. For I say to you," this is the money line, "you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So until there is a conversion of the Jews, Christ is saying they've got to come back to Christ. They rejected the prophets in the Old Testament. They're rejecting the fulfillment of the prophecies in Jesus Christ, and this is going to make problems for generation to generation. Here's the thing, my friends. If you say this in the reverse, no one has a problem with it. Like Andrew Clavin is saying, the Jews are still God's chosen people. That's really just the opposite of what is being told there. So People have no problem with the idea that because the Jews were God's chosen people in the Old Testament, 100%, and Christ came out of this people, and everything was fulfilled, and then this covenant, which was selective for one particular group, extends to the whole of the world through baptism and so forth. So if you say collectively the Jews are blessed because they're God's chosen people, people have no problem with the idea of inheritance of a good thing because of your ancestors. But if you say the Bible says there's an inheritance of something bad because of the bad actions of your ancestors, all of a sudden we're anti-Semitics, when really we're just Christians. And Christ, who is the King of the Jews, is saying this to us, and he can't be wrong because he's God. This is why Viva Frey, this Canadian agnostic-y Jewish commentator, was correct to say that Andrew Klavan has some cognitive dissonance. It's impossible to say that saying Christ is king can be anti-Semitic when you're a Christian. Jeremy Boring was trying to say, well, it can become anti-Semitic. No, it can't. An anti-Semite could say it, but it's still a truth that is a good and holy truth. There's another verse I want to show you here as well, which is even more obvious. So here's the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And this is the discourse between Pilate and the crowd. And I'll start here, okay? Pilate saith to them, what shall I do then with Jesus that is called Christ? They say all, let him be crucified. Now pause there. We have to understand, Scripture uses typology, imagery, and so forth. So it's the assembly of all the Jews that can, it's an assembly of the majority of the Jews of Jerusalem at the time of the Passover with the religious hierarchy present. And Pilate is saying, what shall you have me do? And the response is, they say all, let him be crucified. There is a collective decision here. The governor said to them, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate, seeing that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, taking water, washed his hands before the people, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Look you to it. And the whole people answering said, his blood be upon us and our children. Now, they didn't believe the blood would be upon them because they believed he was a false Messiah. But they admitted that if he was, then that would be a problem. And this fits with what the Old Testament says about inheriting guilt from the killing of the just, being exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon and so forth. This is even something, ironically, that's believed today about many anti-Zionist Orthodox rabbis who believe that the Jews as a nation of people have not inherited the Holy Land because of their sins. They believe it's another like Babylonian exile. Now, they're wrong about the Messiah to come, what they believe about that. But they do believe that the Jews can be, that all peoples, and we'll talk about other peoples as well, can be punished for particular crimes against God Almighty. This is just Old Testament, New Testament religion 101. I'll bring that verse back up here again, because this is important. It says, then he released them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him unto death to be unto them to be crucified. So they wanted Barabbas. They didn't want Christ. Barabbas was a seditious individual who was a murderer, but was a revolutionary of a political stripe. He was a zealot. That didn't just mean he had zeal, but this stream of Jewish revolutionaries against the government who wanted a worldly Messiah. So the Jews as a group, with the religious hierarchy present, in the presence of Jesus Christ, blinded by their hatred of Christ, just like the ancestors that killed the prophets that came to them, same kind of thing, they all prophesied or prefigured Christ, they desired the worldly Messiah. This is exactly what Ben Shapiro believes. Ben Shapiro, you can find him on record, he doesn't believe in Christ because he believes the Messiah will be like a King David. Christ is a King David, but the spiritual is higher than the temporal. David gave them the earthly kingdom. Christ gives them, he is Lord of heaven and earth, but he gives them the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the church, and opens the gates of heaven. This is something that's missed. So Jews today, if they're religious and conservative Jews, they are like the crowd choosing Barabbas instead of Christ. That's just the logic of it. Now, this does not mean that all peoples are deterministically, they're not determined to fall into a certain path. Okay, I'll use an example. So I'm a big fan of St. Thomas More, St. Edmund Campion. My dad's side of the family, all the Halls are English, 100% actually. His grandparents died before I was born. My dad's father died when my dad was very young. I never met the English clan, but literally 100% of the blood is English. The English, as a nation, have done really, really evil things. I love England in many ways. They gave me my country of Canada in so many ways, and God save the king and all that. I have no problem saying that. Nonetheless, by the way, I think Princess Kate is sick, right? And the king is sick, so please pray for them that they convert if they do die, before they die. In any event, what the English did to revolt against, what the English did to the Irish is just unspeakable. You know, some people will say, well, you can't talk about the Jews this way because of their sufferings. It's like, listen, the Jews are hardly the only people that have ever suffered. The Irish suffered mercilessly under English rule for a long time, especially when England went Protestant. And it's wicked. It's abominable. And the English nation did that. That's a fact. Now, do I think that every English person is deterministically cursed because of that? No, but I do think England as a nation was punished for it. And this happened with the revolt of King Henry VIII. And they revolted against Christ. They chose Barabbas over Christ. And they immediately went about crucifying the Christs in their country. They tortured Campion and St. Thomas More and so forth. These saints are like images of Christ. So the interesting thing is, we can say England as a nation is guilty of a grave sin. We can also say England as a nation has raised up some of the greatest saints, like St. Edmund Campion. And those saints, and this will come back to what Clavin said about Shapiro, those saints are so great because they face the persecution, which is the point. This is the point of the scriptures. Christ went against the grain, and he went against the earthly powers who were rejecting him, and that merits all the more. So when Ben Shapiro says, you know, Ben Shapiro would suffer a lot if he would convert to Christianity, of course he would. Why would anyone not suffer by converting to Christianity? The Jews of the early centuries suffered a lot, kicked out of the synagogues and killed and all that, immediately. You know, this was St. Stephen. The Jewish hierarchy started killing the Christians. That happened right away. That's in the Bible. Stoning them to death because they were kicked out of the synagogues and they said Christ is Lord. So yeah, you're going to suffer if you are a Jew and convert to Christianity. But that's kind of the point, because all Christians will suffer if they convert. So all people suffer when they convert away from heathenry, perfidy, being an infidel, and so forth. They suffer. And that merits all the more. And that's the beautiful grace of God that is present in the lives of these great saints who have converted, even though they have lost all worldly things. And this is why they make the greatest saints. This is so backwards here about this message to Shapiro. His confreres, if they truly loved him — they don't love his soul, if this is what they're saying — if they truly loved him, they would be saying, yeah, Ben, you'd suffer. That's why you need to convert, because you would win so many souls for Christ. People might think this, I'm saying this in tongue-in-cheek. I'm not. If Ben Shapiro or massively influential conservative Jews like him converted to Catholicism, they would likely become great saints. And this is the whole point of Father Maudsley's work with If You Believed Moses, about, you know, the pride and the hardness of heart of all these Orthodox Jewish rabbis and things. They know the scriptures so well, and they just can't see it properly because they're blinded by their perfidy. And this is why in the Old Testament, in the old Holy Week liturgies, you can still find this in the Society Says the old Holy Week prayer, because it was the prayer for the Jews was retained in the 55 Holy Week. It was changed as that Holy Week was reformed, but you can still find this prayer being said at the Society's Holy Weeks, as well as other places that do the pre-55. Although technically speaking, the Ecclesia Dei communities who were given permission for the pre-55 are supposed to say the ecumenical prayer, so I'm not sure what happens at every single place. And if they do say the ecumenical prayer, it kind of defeats the purpose, the main purpose, in my opinion, the most important thing of the Holy Week, which is the prayer for the Jews. In any event, we pray for the eyes of the Jews to be opened, because they will make such great Christians. Can you imagine the grace that would be given to a Ben Shapiro, heck, to an Andrew Klavan, whoops, to an Orthodox rabbi or something, if he said, yeah, Christ is the Messiah. Christ, God will give you the graces that your station in life, that your suffering will need. Look at the life of Edmund Campion. I've held up his biography 1,000 times. I'm going to hold up one more time. I think it's by Ignatius. No, this is by Sophia from like the 90s. But go find St. Edmund Campion, Priest and Martyr by Evelyn Waugh. If you look at the tortures that St. Edmund Campion went through, there's no earthly way that he went through those tortures based on his own strength. It's not possible. Look into what being hanged, drawn, and quartered is, and it happened to him like many times. It's not even possible. But this is another example. As soon as you reject Christ, you necessarily become murderous. This is what happens with the heretics. This is what happened with the hierarchs of the Pharisees and so on and so forth in the first century. It brings about a disorder. So these people who say they love Ben Shapiro and Klavan and so forth, instead of moaning about some idiots saying Christ the King without meaning it, it still can't be anti-Semitic by saying it because the term itself is impossibly, it is impossible for that term to be anti-Semitic. But those of them who are moaning about this, you should be saying, you know, Ben Shapiro, Christ is King and you need to convert or you're going to lose your soul. That would be true love for Ben Shapiro. Just saying. But time and time again, we see this. When given the choice of choosing Christ or Barabbas, they choose Barabbas. And the Bible tells us what happens with that. It's exile. Okay, good. I think I've kind of made my point here. I think that's enough for me to say today. Pray for the conversion of the Jews, and especially pray for the conversion of Andrew Klavan. Pray for the conversion of Jeremy Boring. Pray for the conversion of Ben Shapiro. I mean that. I mean that. Those of you out there who are woke to the awake to the JQ, and you don't have it in your heart to pray for Ben Shapiro, you're not following Christ. Yeah, say Christ the King to him all you want, because that's true. But if you can't pray for his conversion, you know. Father Maudsley was telling me, he said it on my show once, it's not like private, but he would get emails, and they talk about Peter, the first pope, who was a Jew, and they do that whole bracket thing around his name. Like, they have suspicion of Peter? There is an element of stupidity in the whole woke to the awake to the JQ thing. I don't deny that, which is why I don't dabble with certain individuals in it. That's why I like doing that show with the dark deep state guys, because they have a profoundly Catholic sense and they understand what this is about. It's not just an ideology or something. In any event, if you can't pray for the conversion of the Jews, then you are suffering from a hardness of heart that you'll be judged for. Put down your 4chan forums, put down your Rumble BitChute videos or whatever. A lot of good stuff on BitChute. I'm just saying, put down your crazy stuff that makes you angry all the time. And if you really do view these people as your enemy, then you must pray for them. And you must start with the head. Go for the big honchos. Start fasting and praying for Ben Shapiro. I mean that. You don't want him to go to heaven? You actually don't want that? Shame on you. I made more friends today. As always, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kennedy Report. Until next time, God bless you all.